Now we come to the 26th chapter, and we begin here again with a whole section here that deals with the fool. The Bible has a great deal to say about the fool. Now what he's talking about is not the man that is mentally deficient. He's not talking about the simple-minded or the one today that has some mental aberration and maybe needs to be put in an institution. The fool that's mentioned here is a man that may be brilliant. He could have a Ph.D. degree. David put it like this, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." And it is a man that, though he may be brilliant, yet he is very much of an oddball, and he is an atheist. Now, the scripture says, and that Hebrew word means insane. He's an insane man. The intermarriage sometimes produces very brilliant offspring, but also there be a mental deficiency. One of the pastors of the church I served in Nashville went way back to the beginning of the church, way back in the early days of Tennessee, and he had married into the governor's family there that had intermarried, and as a result, there was insanity in the family. And this man had two daughters, and they were brilliant. But when I became pastor, they were old ladies. They lived way out in the country, way up in the hills of Middle Tennessee, on a farm. And I was holding meetings in that area, and they wanted me to go by to see them. Well, I went by to see them, and I have never met any two women that were more brilliant than those two women. They knew all about me, all about the church I was serving. They knew the Bible. They knew literature. They were acquainted with music. They were up on current events. I'd be honest with you, it was amazing. But you know, there was something very odd there. The pastor that took me says, "Now don't be surprised at what you see." Well, when we went in, we had to shoo the chickens off of the chairs to sit down, and then you had to be rather careful. And while I was sitting there talking with them, from the kitchen, a cow stuck her head in the door. And there was a horse over in the bedroom. And there were goats around. And you could sure tell them. I never saw them, but you could tell they were there. And that was the thing about them, a mental aberration, you see. Now, there are some today, may be brilliant, but they're atheists. Now, God says that's insanity. Now, he's going to talk about the fool here for several verses. Let's look at it. "As snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool." One of the marks of a fool is that he doesn't mind sacrificing his honor, has none whatsoever. Verse 2, "As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come." In other words, the prediction made that certain things will come to pass doesn't always happen. And by the way, that's something for a lot of these so-called prophets today that are in our midst. They're telling us what's going to happen in the next few years. They may be right. I don't know. They don't get it from the Word of God. Now, will you notice verse 3? "A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back." That's a good one, isn't it? Whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass. Got to put a bridle on a little donkey. Well, a fool, the only thing he'll respond to is real discipline. Verse 4. Now we have two verses here that I used to hear as a boy by our town atheist. He always enjoyed pointing out contradictions in the Bible. Here's one of them. Now will you notice it? Verse 4 says, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him." Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Now, isn't that a contradiction? No, my friend, that's no contradiction at all. That sets before you and me two lines of conduct. when a fool speaks. May I say to you that I get letters from different individuals, and I get letters from folk I'd put in this classification. Some of them I answer, some I don't answer. Now, it's not because I can't answer them, but answer not a fool according to his folly. You have to decide. That's what the writer to the Proverbs. Now, if you decide to answer him, you lay yourself open. You may be like him. You may end up being in the same classification. Now, I had that experience recently. I answered a man, a brilliant man, and I thought that he would respond to the answers I gave. Well, I never got such a foolish letter as I did from him. I'm through now because why? Answer a fool according to his folly was my first reaction, lest he be wise in his own conceit. This man had some wrong ideas, and I don't mean that his doctrine was different from mine, but he had some impressions about me that were entirely wrong. I tried to correct them. Well, I made a mistake. Why? Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. And I felt very foolish when I got his letter. So there are two lines of conduct, and you have to determine whether you should or shouldn't. Are you willing to put it on the line and be classed like that? Now, let's keep reading. Verse 6, he that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. You make a mistake if you send the message by the wrong individual. Verse 7, the legs of the lame are not equal, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. Now, I want to tell you, there are certain interpretations of parables that are given today that I feel like I'd like to put that over their interpretation. So is a parable in the mouth of fools. But I better not do that. Verse 8, as he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. You're just giving him, you know, ammunition. That's all in the world that you're doing. And then, verse 9, as a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. You give a parable to some individuals, and it's just like picking up something, finding that you picked up a rose, but there's a thorn in it. This is a tremendous chapter, is it not? Now it says, the great God that formed all things both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth transgressors. And you can be sure of one thing, the ultimate outcome, God will handle this matter and take care of it. Now, we find here something rather frightful. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. And I know of nothing that is as harsh as that. You know, it's repulsive and sickening to even think of this. But you remember that this is the viewpoint that Peter presents to us concerning the hypocrite. The hypocrite, he says that the dogs return to his vomit, and the pig, old sows, return to her wallowing again. You see, there was a little pig that left the pig pen and went with the prodigal son. But since he was a pig, he went back to the pig pen. Only sons will go home. And eventually, hypocrites are revealed in the church today. And there are many. There's no question about that. Man said to me the other day, he wanted to give us the reason for not joining the church. He says, McGee, the church is filled with hypocrites. Well, I says, no one knows that any better than I do. That's no reason why you shouldn't be in it. You can't hide back of a hypocrite. You should be in there revealing what is genuine. That is the thing that is important. And the important thing to note is, and I've had several letters on this recently from folk that didn't like the fact that we mentioned this, that there is the security of the believer. But I also said there is the insecurity of the make-believer. And that is the thing he's talking about here. Now I'm going to drop down here quite a ways. Well, let me pick up verse 12. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit, there is more hope of a fool than of him. Now, there's something worse than that, an egomaniac, one that has a high opinion of himself. Then as you move on down, and I'm going to drop down now to verse 20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. The thing that today keeps all the bitterness stirred up in certain groups is the fact that there are just a few in there. They are the ones that keep putting a little something on the fire, you see. If there's no one that like that, then the fire will go out. The strife will cease. And then verse 21, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kennel strife. Certain folk, that the minute that they enter a church or join a church or are in a church at all, they cause strife. You find that in the Lord's work today. They just seem to stir up things all the time. And they're never interested, really, in the Word of God, though they make pretensions. He's mentioned this before here. Now, verse 22, the words of a talebearer are as wounds. Actually, the better translation is, the words of a talebearer are dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Now, you may like to hear that little choice bit of gossip. You know, we like to hear that. But it's hard to digest. It'll finally make you sick. If you're a child of God, you don't want to hear that ugly thing. And yet a great many people, they like to hear these things. Now, we saw here, and I'm picking up at verse 23 of Proverbs 26, burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit with him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Whose hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein. He that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. This is probably one of the longest sections and the strongest sections against hypocrisy. And it means hypocrisy among God's people. And there are those that make a profession of faith. After all, the hypocrite in the church and the hypocrite among God's people should not disturb those inside or those outside for the very fact that they do not counterfeit $1 bills. They do counterfeit $20. They only counterfeit that which is valuable, and no one, as I know, is making counterfeit pennies. The thing is that these things are to be noted, recognized, and then the warning is given here. It's against those that are two-faced, those that will come to you, say one thing to your face, they say something to your back. They flatter you, and yet in their hearts they hate you. It was Tacitus who made the statement, it is common for man to hate those whom they have injured. And when you find out that someone has injured you, you can be sure of one thing, it's because he hates you. That hatred is in the heart. You have that example of flattery in the Bible in Haman. You remember how he flattered, and yet this man plotted to destroy an entire people, and even that would encompass and take in the queen upon the throne. Evil man, a man that flattered the king, and yet it was obvious that he was planning to overthrow the king. This is something that you find in Christian circles, and we need to recognize it. There's no use covering over. There's probably no place in the world where there is all of this cover-up as there is in the church. We try to act like it's not there, that somehow or another, if we ignore it, it'll go away. We feel like our church is defeated if anybody mentions the fact there's a hypocrite around. We feel like we in ourselves are defeated if we acknowledge that even in our own hearts there's this root of bitterness sometime. So that I think Christians need to face up. And these Proverbs are very good at making us face up.